This is Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 33 to 37. In all that has happened to us, you have remained righteous. You have acted faithfully while we acted wickedly. Our kings, our leaders, our priests, and our ancestors did not follow your law. They did not pay attention to your commands or the statutes you warned them to keep. Even while they were in their kingdom, enjoying your great goodness to them in the spacious and fertile land you gave them, they did not serve you or turn from their evil ways. But see, we are slaves today, slaves in the land you gave our ancestors, so they could eat its fruit and the other good things it produces. Because of our sins, its abundant harvest goes to the kings who have placed you have placed over us. They rule over our bodies and our cattle as they please. We are in great distress. Okay, and now in Japanese.
ネヘミヤ記9章33節から37節まで日本語でお読みします。私たちに降りかかってきたすべてのことにおいてあなたは正しかったのです。あなたは誠実をもって行われたのに私たちは悪を行ったのです。私たちの王たち、司たち、祭司たち、先祖たちはあなたの律法を守らず、あなたの命令とあなたが彼らに与えた警告を心に留めませんでした。彼らは自分たちの王国のうちと、あなたが彼らに与えたその大きな恵みのうちに、またあなたが彼らの前に置かれた広くて肥えた土地のうちにありながら、あなたに仕えず、また自分たちの悪い行いから立ち返りもしませんでした。ご覧ください、私たちは今奴隷です。あなたが私たちの先祖に与えてその実りとその良い食べ物を食べるようにされたこの地で、ご覧ください、私たちは奴隷です。私たちが罪を犯したので、あなたは私たちの上に王たちをたたらせましたが、その王たちのためにこの地は多くの収穫を与えています。彼らは私たちの体と私たちの家畜を思い通りに支配しております。それで私たちは非常な苦しみの中におります。
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are good. You are faithful. You are amazing, worthy Lord of worship and praise. We thank you so much for today. This morning, we could come together as a community of believers worshiping you, learning from your word, growing to be more like you. We thank you, God, for this time. We pray, Holy Spirit, you would come. Fill our hearts, fill this place. Holy Spirit, we long for your filling, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. How are you doing? Doing okay? Doing pretty good? Good, good. It's good to see all of you here today. This is Nehemiah. This is actually what we read, the end of a prayer that Nehemiah was praying. And actually, I should have added one more verse, but verse 38, let me just read it. It says, in view of all this, we are making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leaders, our Levites, and our priests are fixing their seals to it. So they rebuilt the wall. The story is, Nehemiah had a burden to build the wall. And Nehemiah finally finished building the wall, and after they built the wall, they spent like a quarter of the day reading scripture, a quarter of the day worshiping, a quarter of the day repenting and praying. And it was a day of set apart for the Lord. If you read the beginning of chapter 9, you see that they were just spending time in the presence of God. And at the end, as we see here in chapter 9, there's this repentance that comes out from the group. A repentance. It says, but see, we are slaves today, slaves of the land you gave our ancestors, so that we can eat its fruit, so that they could eat its fruit and the other good thing it produces. And it goes on and on. It says, because of our sins. And they come to a point of repentance. We're doing a study on Nehemiah, initially because I was encouraged, if you want to know more about vision, you should study the book of Nehemiah. We see in Nehemiah's life, he had a vision. And what was that vision? Rebuild the wall, right? And that was a great vision. But the wall itself wasn't what was important. Because the wall would get built up, and today the wall is torn down. What was important about the vision, and what was important about Nehemiah's life, is this point, chapter 9. It's the repentance. It's the renewal. It's the revival. It's the changing of their heart to turn to God. More than the wall. What Nehemiah will be remembered for throughout eternity is not the wall. Even though that was a great, important work. But it was a change and transformation of the heart of the people. When I talk about vision, corporate vision, and even personal vision, your vision must be with eternity in perspective. Must be with eternity in perspective. Because this world will offer you visions without eternity in perspective. The American dream does not have eternity in perspective. Wealth, education, 2.5 kids, house, dog, car, does not have eternity in perspective. Those aren't bad things. You know, I would love to own a house. I would love to have maybe a dog. Maybe 2.5 kids, you know. I would love to be wealthy, rich, financially out of debt, and all that other thing. Those are good things. You know, three cars, a vacation home in Big Bear, California, all those, Mammoth, California, wherever, whatever. I guess I'm in Arizona, so what, Mount Lemmon, right? You guys have vacation home in Mount Lemmon, no? No?
Yeah, White Mountain.
White Mountains. Anyone have one so that I could become friends with you? those are good things. It's not bad. They don't have eternity in perspective, though. Your house will one day, unfortunately, as nice as it may be, will be gone. Swept away. Your career, one day you'll retire. If you become a world champion boxer, one day they'll forget about you. Those things all will one day perish, burn, and be forgotten about. Even a great big church will one day be no more. You know, Martin Luther King Jr., he could have probably had a great big church, right? Great preacher. What is he known for? Not a big church. He's known for his vision. Is I have a dream. Eternal perspective, because equality will be in eternity. That's an eternal perspective vision. Nehemiah, his vision, rebuild the wall, but eternal perspective vision, revival, renewal, restoration of God's presence, reestablishing God's presence on the earth. And that will be remembered, because that will be eternal. That's an eternal perspective vision. And so for your own life, you know, career, great. But what you do with your career is eternal perspective. How you conduct yourself in your career, eternal perspective. Because love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, those things remain. And may not be celebrated here on earth. But let me tell you, the God that remembers will remember your love, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your goodness, your gentleness, whatever you do. That's eternal perspective. Those are things worth shooting for. Today I want to talk about who are you serving? Because as we see here in Nehemiah's story, although they were God's people, it says all their resources, they were serving a different king. They weren't able to enjoy what God wanted them to have. And I want to talk about that a little bit. The first thing I want to talk about is God is good. I mean, God is love. Amen? God is love. Nehemiah 9:33 says, "In all that has happened to us, you," meaning God, "you have remained righteous. You have acted faithfully, even while we acted wickedly." Psalms 103:3, paraphrase, it says this, "God does not treat us as we deserve or deal with us harshly." God does not treat us as we deserve or deal with us harshly. Amen. That's good news. That's good news. God is good. God is love. Even when we're not faithful, God's love will remain faithful. Even when we make a mistake, God's love remains. Even if we turn our back on Him, He will relentlessly pursue us. Because God is love. And that's what love does. That's what He does. God is love. And He doesn't treat us as we deserve. That's foundational. That's important. I mean, that's probably nothing new to most of you. God is love. That's, you know, basic, fundamental. You don't need to be Christian to know that God is probably love. That's just something we oftentimes just know. But really, He does have your best interest in mind. He does. You know, oftentimes we think God is love, however, He doesn't like for us to have fun or something, you know. God is love, but He's kind of a killjoy. Or God is love, but I'll serve Him later. No. God is love, and He has you and your interest in mind when He asked you to do so. You know, He has laws, regulations, but these aren't to simply kill your joy. And I want to talk about that. But before I go there, I felt throughout this week, for some reason, an urge, maybe a nudging of the Holy Spirit to sort of share the gospel in a very simple term. And most of you know this verse, but God loved you. God loved the world so much that He gave Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in Him might not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. That is the gospel. That God's love for you is so great that He does not want you to perish here on earth or in eternity, for eternity. There is a perishing that is happening. We will all one day die. The bad news is, to bring the good news in perspective, the bad news is some of us will not spend eternity with God, who is love. Some of us will not. Now, I'm not saying some of you here in this room. I'm hoping all of you will enjoy God's presence, God's love when you die. But the bad news is, the reality is, that there are people dying every day that will not get into heaven, that will not have a relationship with God after this world passes. And for those of you who do not have that confidence of, after I die, I'm going to spend eternity with God, I want to share with you, all you need to do is ask Jesus Christ in your life. That's the starting point. Say, God, I've never done this, but I'm going to ask you into my life. That's where you start. And if you want to know more, I could talk about that more later. More probably one-on-one is better. But God is love. But unfortunately, God's goodness can be misunderstood. But let me talk about God's goodness first. In Nehemiah 9:35, it says, even while we were in their kingdom, enjoying your great goodness to them, enjoying your great goodness, in the spacious and fertile land you gave. I'm reading this wrong, am I? Aren't I? Let me get this right. Even while they were in their kingdom, enjoying your great goodness to them in the spacious and fertile land you gave them, they did not serve you or turn from their evil ways. Because of God's goodness in your life, it's easy to mistake our prosperity with His approval. Does that make sense? It's easy to think, oh, I'm doing, or I got a raise, people like me, I'm not getting stopped at any red lights, all the lights are turning green. That must mean God is approving of my life, right? No, just me? If I hit all the green lights, I'm like, I must be doing something good. Yeah. Especially, I used to live in LA, you know, and I felt like if I didn't hit traffic, man, I must have been, I must have done something right. You know, but it's just God's goodness. It's just God's goodness. Whether you're doing something right or not, God's goodness remains. It does. People prosper all the time, even when their life's not right, because God's good. He is. It says in Nehemiah, they were enjoying the spacious space, the fertile land. They were enjoying, the fruit of the land that was given to their ancestors, even when they didn't serve God. And they didn't turn from their evil ways. It was God's goodness and His overall goodness, His common goodness, that was on them. And so, God is love, God is good, and just because you're enjoying God's goodness doesn't mean He's approving of your life. That's important to know. It's important to know because I could only just, I guess, share my own experience. But like the first time, like I sinned after becoming Christian and like knowingly sinned, knowing that, okay, this is probably not something God wants me to do, and I did it, and I got away with it. I thought to myself, hey, you know, what's wrong with doing it then? Yes? Just me? You too? No? If you don't know what I'm talking about, man, let me tell you. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Okay? Honestly, it's just not me. Okay? But that's the seduction of sin. Sin will always kill, steal, destroy. You know, when Adam and Eve, they were told not to eat of that fruit. You know the fruit I'm talking about. God told them, don't eat of that fruit, because when you do, you will surely die. God doesn't say, when you eat that fruit, I'm going to kill you. It's two different things. God is love. God is good. They ate of the fruit. God did not kill them. But they surely died. That's what sin is like. And so, you know, we do something wrong, and we look around and say, hey, nothing happened. No, something did happen. Something happened. You say, hey, wait, I'm still hitting all the green lights. I must have had goodness like stored up somewhere, you know. But God is good, but don't get it twisted, don't get it mixed up, don't get it mistaken. Sin has consequences. And we see in Nehemiah 9:36, but see, we are slaves today, slaves in the land you gave our ancestors so they could eat its fruit and the other good thing it produces. And the land continued to produce. It was still spacious, it was still fertile, but they didn't get to enjoy that anymore. And it wasn't because God was simply just punishing them. Although God will, discipline those He loves, right? He does do that. It wasn't simply just God punishing them. There is consequences when we sin. There are consequences when we sin. And what are those consequences? Mature form, it is poverty, bondage, blindness, oppression, and eventually death. But the good news is this. Jesus says, I have been anointed to preach the good news to the poor. Right? Set the captives free. Open the eyes of the blind. He came to break all chains and to give life and life to the fullest. Eternal life. That's what Jesus came to bring. The good news. We were once slaves to sin. We once had visions that were just temporary. Visions that wouldn't last. Dreams and hopes that were superficial. When I was in high school and in junior high, I wasn't Christian. My vision, my dream, my hope in life was to dunk the basketball, to have a girlfriend, and to be popular. You know, if I never met Christ, it would still probably be that superficial. Probably like, you know, get that promotion, have a house, be popular. Doesn't really change, right? As silly as dunking the basketball, having a girlfriend, etc. sounds. Let me ask you, is your vision eternal? Or is it that superficial still? If it is, I have to ask you, who are you serving? Who are you serving? Because if you're serving the God of this world, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Prince of peace, the Almighty, then your vision probably shouldn't be that superficial. Last Sunday, I got to see my brother. He lives in LA. And so, he's not Christian. So I said, hey, you want to watch this movie called Holy Spirit with me? He's like, okay, I'll watch that if you watch Cosmos with me. You guys seen the show, TV show Cosmos? Jonathan recommended it to me before, and I didn't watch it, but... It's about, what's it about? It's about the cosmos. Galaxies, stars, et cetera, just how vast the universe is. Kind of from a Darwinian perspective, kind of. But as you watch it, it's like, oh my gosh. God is more amazing than I ever thought. God is more amazing than I could ever imagine. God is so intricate in details and just grand and vast. Wow. That's what I got away from, took away from it. From watching Cosmos. And me and my brother, we had a healthy conversation about it and stuff. So it was good. What's that to say is, if you are serving that God, if we are serving that God, then our vision cannot be superficial. He is not a superficial God. He is the everlasting God, the eternal God. And I believe now, even now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of you in terms of vision, life vision. And I want you to have eternal perspective on that. You know, it's so easy to get distracted by the temporal. I gotta be honest. Can I be honest up here as a pastor? Okay, I'm gonna be honest. Don't laugh. Just kidding, you can laugh because it's pretty funny. So I started boxing. Noah's going to be a champion one of these days. But that is a temporal perspective, buddy. But you are going to be a champion. It's what you do with being a champion that matters. Noah and I, we started boxing. Wayne started helping us boxing. Wayne is a professional boxer. Was a professional boxer. Always will be a professional boxer. And so we started boxing, and when I get into something, I get into stuff. So if it's boxing, I start just researching as much as I can, and like hours on end about boxing. Watching boxing, yeah, just I'm submersed in boxing. And in my fleshly, crazy, you know, overconfident self, I say, one day, maybe I could be a champ. I'm 37. You know, unless you're starting at like 17 or something like that, you probably don't. It's just so crazy. But I'm like, maybe I could be a champ one day at 37. I'm like, I'll do amateur for like 2 years, and then at 39 I'll start boxing professionally, and by 42 I could be a world champ. Yeah, it's crazy. Foreman did it at 50. Don't feel the craziness, buddy. And I could just picture myself, you know, with a world champion belt or something like that. Even if that happens, it'll perish. Eternal perspective. You know, the allure of that is being a world champ, to having that belt. For guys, it's like the hardware matters. God, though, gave me a healthier perspective. He said, Aki, what if you became a champ? Eternal champ, belt and everything, for prayer. I mean, no one's going to know it on this side of eternity, but I'll have a belt for you. Eternal perspective. The most loving person, and I'll have a belt for you. Eternal perspective. The most forgiving person. You know, I know you've gone through atrocities, or, you know, I've known you've gone through just hell, but can you forgive? And if you do, I'll have a monument for you. People that are remembered throughout eternity may not be recognized here, but it's because they have eternal perspective. They'll be remembered throughout eternity. You know, have a trophy this high that said, faithfully prayed, faithfully gave, faithfully served the poor, sacrificially fill in the blank. What is God giving you? Could have been Grammy, you know, world recognized music artist in the secular world, but no, decided to stay in the church and use their voice for the glory of God. And faithfully sang. Amen. Eternal perspective. Who are you serving? You could tell who you're serving by the decisions you make and the vision you have. And if it's not eternal perspective, you'll know right away. It's shallow, superficial, and it will require you to change your perspective, your mind, called repentance. Eventually, it will change the road you're on. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love, for your goodness, Lord, even your common goodness. We thank you for your goodness that you have shown us here in Tucson. But Lord, we pray that if we need repentance, if we need, Lord, to turn from sins that has consequences, that you would give us the wisdom, the grace, the power from your Holy Spirit to turn. Turn to you, Lord. To worship you. To have vision once again, Lord. Your vision, Lord, for our lives. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Today we have the privilege of partaking in communion. And at JCCT, you don't have to be a member of this church to partake in communion. Simply, we do ask that you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you believe that, you are welcome to come and partake in communion. The way we do it is we have grape juice and crackers. You break the cracker, dip it in the grape juice, and take it at the front. But before we do that, let me read something. Let me read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 23. This is Paul. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns, until he comes.'" I love the new covenant. I love the new covenant. Old covenant has to do with a lot of religious ceremonies, rituals, laws and regulations, which are not bad, again, but the new covenant is in the blood and is more relational. God wants to know you, and you can be his child, and you could talk with him, you could walk with him, and you could be with him. That's the new covenant. You are blood relatives with the Lord now. And as we take communion, that's what we're remembering. And we're saying, Jesus, we can't wait to see you face to face. We can't wait till you return. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for the body that was broken for our sake. The blood that was shed to wash our sins away. We thank you, Lord. And as we take communion as a community, we proclaim your return, Jesus. We say, come, Lord, come. In Jesus' name, amen.